Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Kim. Are you interested in becoming a sponsor for the Flying Intellectual Podcast? Would you like us to advertise your business on this platform? If interested, email us at info@flyyoungintellectual.com. That's info@flyyoungintellectual.com. We're waiting to hear from you. Peace.
Okay. Counting on my body. Damn, the things just start to pile. Judge me how you judge me. Take them bitches out of trial. Fuck the 100 niggas. How them niggas love you now? You don't know love. You don't love me like my child. Lay your ass down.
Yo, what's going on, people? It's your boy, Kim. And welcome back to another FYI podcast, Intellectuals Assemble. Hope y'all are having a great week, a great month. As we are in this fourth quarter of the year, fourth quarter is winning time. Even if you haven't gotten everything that you wanted to get accomplished this year, you still have opportunities to still check some stuff off your bucket list and your checklist. So finish strong, man. It's winning time. Fourth quarter. Let's go. Welcome back. As I said, it's another episode, another day, and we're back on our brand building and development. Been getting a lot of great feedback on that. and a lot of people are saying that it's helping them. The value is helping them. Also got a lot of great feedback on the part one of our Protect the Inner Child episode. A lot of people was reaching out and saying how it helped them realize that they had some things that they needed to kind of work through that stems from their child and to heal that. It takes a lot of introspectiveness to really kind of look within and realize that there's some trauma there that needs to be rectified and healed, especially from our inner child and from our childhood period. It is a great day to listen to the FYI podcast. We are back, as I said. Today's episode, I wanted to really kind of dive into what I consider one of the greatest rollout wars that I've seen in my adult life. And a lot of people kind of just saw this quote-unquote beef as two artists who essentially, for whatever reason, we still don't know what reason these two artists don't really like each other outside of like the blogs and the rumors. But for some reason, Drake and Kanye have found themselves on opposite ends of the table once again, which is sad in a lot of ways because two great artists, you want them to be cordial to the point of being able to even work together, which they've worked together in the past, but whatever happened, obviously, you know, the Pusha thing didn't help. And whatever is going on between those two, it's unfortunate. Be it as it may, their quote unquote beef, big air quotes here, because these guys, the quote unquote beef is not going to go anywhere. Nobody's going to, fight. As far as I know, nobody's going to pull up on me or pull up on each other. So this beef is strictly about power, in my humble opinion. It's about power. It's about taste. It's about brand reach. It's about music, right? It's about essentially how can we roll out and how can we maximize the opportunity of this, the whole world, who always looks at them regardless, but are definitely tuned in when those two albums were set to be released. Those albums were and are, if you've listened to it already, so hyped. And why were they that hype? Was it just because it's Drake and Kanye? Or was it a little deeper than that? Well, in my humble opinion, it was a little deeper than that. Because these two dudes who are insanely rich and have a lot of leverage in the community, in the music community, in the arts community, in the entertainment community, they wanted to show what makes each of them them. What makes Drake the biggest artist in the world right now, outside of, yeah, I mean, nah, I'm not even going to say outside of. Drake is arguably the biggest artist in the world. Kanye is one of the biggest artists still. He's moved out of music a lot to do other things. But based on his resume and his repertoire, still one of the biggest artists in the world. Now, before we get into the actual rollout aspect, let me say I love both albums. I have to pause. But I like one more. And I'm going to let y'all answer which one y'all think I like more. I'm not going to just straight up say which one I like more. But if you follow me on social media, if you know me personally, you should know. But both albums are pretty good, but I do believe one album is better. A lot of people like to say, hey man, you can't compare to both of them. They're apples and oranges. Just enjoy the art. I agree. Just enjoy the art. I agree with that. The they can't be compared part, I don't know about that. Are they both in the hip-hop genre? Even if Kanye said it's a gospel album or whatever, or it's charting as a gospel album, whatever, it's hip hop. It's raps on there. We can compare production. We can compare raps, features, sequencing, full body of work. How does it feel? What are your favorite songs? They're both about the same length. If you were to omit a couple extra stuff here and there, a couple fillers or whatnot, they both are pretty much close in the quantity of music. But there's one that's better to me. And that's, to me, the reason why it's better, not only just because of the music, is because of the rollout. For those who might not know what a rollout is, in simple terminology, a rollout is the initial introduction to an audience in relaying their why. Why am I selling this product? Why am I putting out this music? The history behind the product, introducing people to the product. That is super important because at the end of the day, first impressions matter. If you were to come up to me right now and say, yo, Cam, man, how you doing? I always wanted to meet you. You know, so glad to meet you. And I kind of give you like a response that like off the bat you feel like was a little dismissive. You might go and say, man, I don't know. Cam didn't really give me the vibes that I thought he exuded initially. Would you be right or wrong? Could I have been having a bad day? Could I have been in the middle of something mentally? Who knows? But at that point in time, you wouldn't care because you just felt like that first impression wasn't great. That situation kind of relates to rollouts and product rollouts. When you are introducing something to an audience, you're essentially telling them, hey man, I want you to purchase this. I want you to consume this product I'm putting out. Here's why. And then you find creative ways as much as possible to find your why within why you're doing it. And now you're trying to relay that information directly to consumer. The reason you have to sometimes find a plethora of ways is because one way might appeal to a certain demographic, and it might straight go over someone else's head. Even if that person might be interested, they might not understand. So now you have to find a couple of ways to really creatively market that product. So right off the bat, what do you have to do? Define your audience. Know who it is you're talking to. Know who it is you're appealing to. And work towards that audience. In the Drake and Kanye thing, the rollouts were very different in many ways, but also very similar in many ways. And this is just from my observation. Drake had said this album was going to come out top of the year, I believe. I think he had left 2020 with like that visual representation of like the little boy looking up. Camera is panning up. It's supposed to be like the certified lover boy, you know, intro. Obviously, he also had that certified lover boy merch capsule with the hat, and he did that with Nike and the socks, some hoodies, some shirts. So all of this was like part of his rollout, even though album got pushed for whatever reason till recently. He had started his rollout kind of going from like late last year into the early part of this year with those collaborations and with those the collection capsule and with some visuals. Kanye's rollout was a little different. Donda had been rumored to come out for quite some time. But of course, as it applies with Kanye, you just gotta wait. Which, in many ways, could have hurt him. And really and truly, the reason why it probably didn't hurt him as much is because he is Kanye West, arguably one of the most influential human beings of all time. People always want to know what he's up to. And he has a weird knack of like being able to convince people to check something out that he does. He's a walking marketing genius. So we've been waiting on this album. People kind of like thought it wasn't coming out, whatever. And then obviously somewhere during the summer, he starts popping up and showing like, nah, it looks like it's about to come out. The first thing he kind of significantly does off the bat is he has that first listening session in Atlanta, which I actually attended. That first listening session was, in a lot of ways, terrible. just because like some of the stuff sounded kind of unfinished and the mix was kind of weird in the stadium. The energy of the whole building was cool, though. It was because obviously people were excited to go. So up to that part, he wanted to have a direct line to his actual consumer and essentially get feedback from his consumer in real time to see what they thought about the album. Make some tweaks, make some adjustments, see how they receive this, and go from there. Drake's demographic has always been, obviously, heavy women, right? Women love Drake. The niggas fuck with Drake. Niggas who are, like, secure within themselves, I feel like. Or maybe insecure too. I don't know. I don't have like all the answers to that. But I feel like because if you're like really in touch with your emotions and if you are a person who actively, you know, challenges yourself and wants to look at yourself in a mirror, you know, you're going to listen to some Drake. You've been in love. You've been out of love. You're going to listen to some Drake. You, with the name Certified Lover Boy, he was right on brand, right? We already know, hey man, it's probably going to be some toxic love talk coming from Mr. Aubrey, Mr. Six God. So people were excited about that. His fans were ecstatic. Not knowing what to expect, but just knowing from his past work and his brand altogether, they're anticipating this. So now that, of course, they have built their audience and defined their audience over a very long period of time, they're not new to this game. It's not like they have to convince a whole lot of people to come listen. They already had the game in a chokehold. So at this point now, it's about who can roll out the best. Who can generate the most buzz around their album. So after defining their audience, it's time to really build that narrative around the album. And once again, this isn't just applicable to music. It's applicable to a product, services. The whole idea behind this podcast is to help us understand that the rollout of anything is integral to the success of it. The better you can get that why and get directly to your consumer before you even have to sell a product, it gives you a better chance to really do well once you do the proper marketing. So we're building the narrative at this point. And building a narrative is where it really becomes, in a lot of ways, fun for those who want to seek that challenge. That's where really having that think tank, having like a group of people or a couple of people that you could bounce ideas off of. And sometimes you might not have that. So at that point, doing research, if it's a product that can be, that has been released by someone else or is popular and has been released and rolled out before, feel free to be able to like go and check out some of the previous things that have been done to gather and gain inspiration. Also, make sure that you are, once again, keeping that why. The why is where you can be unique. The why is where you can define who you are, and through your product, you can keep your own identity, so to speak. That will capture the attention of the audience. And through that, you'll be able to engage your audience through that product and through that aspect of rollout, helping to set you apart from your competition and your competitors. So you're building a strong narrative around whatever it is. And back to Kanye and Drake, the couple weeks before leading up, you know what I'm saying, the narrative, let's say for Kanye, obviously he did that first listening party, then he literally lives in a stadium for what, like a couple weeks? So now, the album was named Donda, named after his mom. So that's heavy in itself. Anybody who knows the story of Kanye knows his mom passed. And really and truly, a lot of his mental breakdowns and such, people believe that it kind of stemmed from him losing his mom. So they knew that the value of the album, at least to Kanye, was super high because of the sentimental value of it. He's naming the album after his deceased mom, rest in peace. So that in itself, it has people buzzing because they're like, yo, this album is going to be the album, because he won't allow this album to not be good as it's supposed to commemorate his mom's life. So that was a part of his narrative going into his rollout. Drake, on the other hand, his rollout wasn't that defined as it applies to the narrative. But with narrative, your job is to stay on brand as possible as well. So once again, the Drake brand, he already named the album Certified Lover Boy, which is essentially every Drake song, for the most part, summed up into one title. So the narrative from the jump was very, very clear. It also didn't help, or it didn't hurt, I should say. For example, when that helicopter flew over that stadium that Drake was renting for that date. Anybody remember that? And he's like looking up dumbfounded like, damn, they done got me again. How much more certified lover boy can you be than to rent out an entire stadium for one night to sit pretty much at home plate, candlelight dinner, champagne, wine. You know, he is the champagne poppy. So once again, this is on brand. And as you're rolling out, you want to make sure that your branding is consistent and that the rollout is consistent with what the brand stands for. So I heard rumors that people thought that, hey man, this was probably just a stunt for the Certified Lover Boy rollout, which I can neither confirm nor deny, but I would like to actually take the side of the conspiracy theorists here and say it would be damn genius. And if it was, so let's just say it was for the sake of this pod and for all my intellectual conspiracy theorists out there. Let's say that was on brand. Let's say that was planned. It was a great marketing move. It was a great marketing tool. People started like creating their own raps about the night. Like Drake would be, you know, Drake would be rapping about, you know, can't even get privacy, you know, helicopters over me. Date night, can't you see? You know, like I totally just made that up, by the way. If you want me to write your bars, you can reach out to info@flyyoungintellectual.com. We can work out a songwriter's fee there. But literally, people started like creating memes off of this thing. People started, as I said, making their own song, making their own rap references, because it felt like Certified Lover Boy. The Certified Lover Boy was at it again. Doing it big. Big money involved. Renting out a stadium for one night for a date at home plate. Here's a question for you. Do you think he made it to home plate that night? All right, I'm done. I'll be here all week. So, building a narrative around the albums was the next step for these guys. This is big, big money, big play, branding and marketing from two of the biggest. Once again, this is what I thought when I was watching all of this transpire. I was like, look, man, this is just going to turn into a beef of who is going to out-roll out the other guy. How much power do they have? They're just going to flex. And that's what it really became. It became who could out-flex the other person. Which was enjoyable for me as the consumer. Because every time one did one thing, because the Drake thing happened before the Kanye listening party. And then Kanye, of course, rents out a stadium for weeks to just, you know, in my mind, once again, as a consumer slash conspiracy theorist, hey, man, he renting it out for a night, for a date. I'm renting it out for weeks to finish my album. So the shit has been, at this point, it was entertaining, and now we are well into the rollout as the narrative is being built. Creatively finding ways to make sure that the message that they were trying to convey was being done at a high level as well. So, of course, as we said, the listening parties for Kanye became a thing. We thought it was going to be one listening party. Then it became two listening parties. Then it became three. Where he ended it at in Chicago, his hometown. And that was like the height of it, where now the music is complete. And before I get there, so of course, as I said, I went to the first one. It wasn't that great in terms of the music quality, but the energy was good. Second one, I didn't make that one. But he added even more of a performance art aspect to it, with essentially like a storyline, and without saying anything, he let the music speak, but he kind of gave a visual representation, so to speak, of the album. And now adding that movie feel to it for different songs, which he then took it up to another level of doing that for the third listening party, where he brought out, you know, the artists who were featuring on it. And, you know, he built this, literally built his childhood house as the stage in the middle of a stadium. This is big budget things, guys, you know, but it looks that way because obviously he has more resource. But you need to just figure out how that looks for you, even if it's like a short video, you know, a short film, visual representation. How can the message that you want to relay get through to your consumer directly? Super important. In the next flow of the rollout process, it's important to be able to think forward by making sure that you plan a way to track your launch progress. And that's a mistake that I've made in my past, where you do all this stuff, you do all this visual stuff, you do all this rollout stuff. Great. You launch, and then you don't have a plan or a tangible way to track what it is exactly you wanted to accomplish within that first, whether it's the first week, first couple weeks. You have to be able to think forward. Don't just do all of that and then have no way to really assess all that it is that you did and not have a certain result that you at least want to come within or hit it right on the head. You know what I'm saying? Things don't always go perfectly. So make sure that you set a way for you to be able to judge your first week or whatever that is of sales and your progress. For music, in the music industry, it's a little easier to track that, because obviously music is being streamed. They already have their certain rules, which like certain streams, a certain amount of streams equal to one buy, you know, a certain amount of plays equals to this, a certain, you know, so you can gauge that. So, you know, whether it's Billboard or, you know, these Apple Music and Spotify and all of that kind of stuff, they literally are tracking the progress, right? So for us to make sure that we can do that, it comes with heavy planning. And with the planning, make sure that you are setting benchmarks for yourself, so that you're not just kind of winging it. We have to make sure that we are not just winging things, but that we're protecting ourselves by planning as well as we can so that we can make sure that we're maximizing all that it is that we're doing. Hopefully everybody's kind of following along, you know, take your time. I know it's kind of, it's not deep, but, you know, I know it's kind of detailed in many ways, but I want to make sure that we're breaking this down as well as possible. And as we're here, as we're taking a quick break, I've been running a 20% off sale, for my brand development services, for the consultation call. So if you want to take advantage of that, that's still going on. Head over to the website, flyingintellectual.com, go to the first hour consult, and you can schedule that. There'll be a calendar there for you to schedule, and then that will come over to me. And at the end, while you're checking out, just put in the code FYI consult for 20% off on that first consultation call, where we really just break down your needs, assess what it is you need to do, give you some of the first steps to taking those first steps to getting your brand to the place that you want it to be, and making sure that we are helping you do more and think less about the brand, because you have professionals in your corner who want to make sure that you are getting the best brand for your buck. All right, random stoppage, but just wanted to get that in there before I forget. And that's flyingintellectual.com. Head over there if you need to check that out. And if it's not for you, if somebody else, you know, recommend it to them, give them a chance to be able to take advantage of our services. All right. So we're back at it. Last thing, we're here. We're doing finding creative ways to make sure that we're sharing that message. And let me just go back from the top. Define your audience. When rolling out, define your audience. Define what you're doing. Define who it is that you're reaching out to, who it is that you're appealing and marketing to. Build a strong narrative around the product. Make sure that you are building that up. Allowing people to know what it's about, bringing that why to the forefront, and then you find creative ways to concisely share that message through whatever means of messaging that you want to utilize. Then you establish a plan to track the progress. That's very important, because once again, doing all of that work and not having a way to kind of tangibly keep eyes and account for what is going on, how much sales you're making, the reach, you know, of these rollout elements. It's almost like you're wasting time and resource. So we want to be able to make sure that we're keeping our eyes and our ears locked in and know that what we are doing. And sometimes, you know, sometimes that's where you have to get a brand strategist, or somebody who can do that aspect for you. Because I get it. Shoot, as a business owner and a brand strategist, sometimes I don't want to even, like, do that aspect, right? You do all that work, and now you're trying to figure out, now I got to figure out, like, how do I track that out? How do I keep tabs of that? You know what I'm saying? It feels like it's a lot. It can be overwhelming. So look within yourself and make sure that you're doing the best thing for you, and that you're not burning out yourself trying to do it all by yourself. And lastly but not leastly, I think after you establish that plan to launch, to track your launch progress, you gotta roll out aggressively and confidently. If you're gonna do it, you gotta do it. And that's where, you know, that's where all the work that you've put in behind the scenes comes to the forefront. And now it's like your proud child has been born, and you want to be there for them. You want to stand by it. Like, hey, man, this is mine. This is my product. This is what I've been planning for. This is what I've been doing. You know, let's go. And a lot of times people don't recognize that if they half-ass the rollout, it can be felt by the consumer. You know, the consumer is a lot smarter than the consumer of back in the day. I'll say it again. The consumer now is way smarter than the consumer back in the day. Consumers are more engaged in a lot of ways. They're more apt and they're more locked in than they've ever been before. And once again, that's because of social media. That's because of your ability to be able to see what the biggest brands are doing on a regular and compare and contrast things. So you want to be able to, once you're hitting that rollout, you're hitting it hard and you're doing it with conviction so that you're literally showing, hey, man, I believe in this. You should believe in it as well. And that's when it came down to, like, for the Kanye Drake thing, came down to the last week where now, you know, Kanye, obviously, it felt unsure until it didn't. Then you recognize that, okay, now this is a part of it. Okay, I'm going to do this one. I'm going to do this two, this three listening sessions. Now we have, you know, we had different people around him in his camp speaking on the album saying, nah, don't worry. It's coming. It's coming. It might not come today, but it's going to come. Some people said it was coming certain days and they were wrong. However, in the music game and at that level where somebody of that magnitude and influence is literally showing y'all, hey, man, giving you a behind the scenes look of, hey, man, we're working on this project as hard as possible. It's coming. That helped that to solidify it for his fans that even if he didn't drop it the certain day that he said it was coming, his fans for the most part were just like, it's coming. We just got to wait. We just got to be patient. As for Drake, you know, him and Kanye, once again, they were stalling each other out, it felt like, with the album. Kanye drops it finally the Sunday before Drake's release. That Friday, when Drake released his album date, release date, you know, here comes the power and the influence again, where he partnered with ESPN and literally hijacked the intro of SportsCenter as if he's the Joker to be able to literally just show on a cardboard September 3rd certified lover boy. And it was beautifully done because it caught me by surprise. I literally was watching SportsCenter and I remember like just seeing it, like, you know, this almost like this interference. I'm like, what was that? And it happened quickly. It went back to like the regular intro. Then it happened again for another few seconds. Certified Lover Boy, September 3rd or whatever. And I was like, man, these boys are pulling no punches. Everything is getting let out at this point. Then, of course, he had the billboards everywhere in the world. As well as Kanye had different billboards, but Drake was significant because he had all the billboards in the hometowns of the different people who were featured on the album. So that was beautiful, you know, Thames and, you know, Houston, you know, Atlanta, of course, you know, he had these different places just for these different people, you know, with Travis from Houston and, you know, Future and them boys from Atlanta, and, you know, just basically raising the level of excitement from his fans, like, yo, this is about to be crazy, before they even heard a song. And once again, this is big player, big baller, rich nigga shit, but we can still glean from this by trying to be as creative in our rollouts so that we can give ourselves the best chance to sell a product. No matter what it is, music, clothing, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it all has to be sold to the consumer before the consumer even buys it. You know, before Kanye was Kanye, before Drake was Drake, they have to also figure out how to make a great product and how to present it in a way that it could be received. And even though everybody doesn't like it, majority of people like it, which is what you need, right? You're never going to get 100% support on something, period. But once you do your part, it will help the rest of it take care of itself. So yeah, man, I hope this breakdown on the pod helps somebody. You know, I just have fun looking and studying these things, and you know, I'm trying to like find ways to kind of relay information and provide value in a plethora of ways. And that's what FYI is about. Informing, inspiring, and interacting. And we're going to do that through, you know, not only conversation, but through design, through research. And, you know, we're going to stay on brand as well to make sure that we're doing our part to reach out to our community, the people who listen to this podcast, the people who follow our pages, the people who do business with us. No matter what it is that you're coming to us to do or to you want to be a part of, you're going to know that the FYI brand is going to take its time in providing value to the average listener and the average consumer and our demographic and our audience. And look, man, I said at the beginning of the show tonight or today, check it out. I do have a favorite album out of those two. Donda is my favorite album out of those two. I think it was just a better overall project in terms of just being able to feel some like different vibes. But they're both good projects. They're both, the rollouts were really, really fun to watch. And it was inspiring at the end of the day. You know, two greats at what they do, kind of just like throwing punches at each other through branding, through brand rollouts, through marketing. And that was fun to watch. And I'm sure it's not done yet, but I will be locked in to see what else happens between these dudes and to see what else cool is being rolled out in the world today. So once again, thank you for tuning in. All the intellectuals around the world, thank you for your support. Thank you for always listening, checking it out. Feel free to follow me at Flying Intellectual on Instagram. Don't forget to follow, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a review, man. If you really love the podcast and it's providing value, just leave a review. It helps me out to gauge, you know, who is listening and kind of have that direct feedback. And also, you know, it's good for the overall wellness of the podcast as well. So, you know, share and of course listen, you know what I'm saying? I'm assuming that you're listening. I see that you guys are listening. So thank you again. And until the next episode, y'all be safe. Peace.